Welcome to this episode of The Language Question, Ceisne Thangann, a conversation about the Irish language and its history for anyone curious about their relationship with it and its role in our identity. Our guest in this episode is Ola MacAdume. Ola is a poet, multimedia journalist and broadcaster, and a Gaeilgeoir. I found her story in terms of how she has come to live her life as part of what is Saol na Gaeilge really inspiring. I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. As always, I would really appreciate your feedback and would be eternally grateful if you would follow, rate and review the show. Please also be sure to sign up at thelanguagequestion.com/resources to get your complimentary valuable learning resources and to ensure that you stay up to date with upcoming episodes, guests and to receive exclusive content. Anyhow, here goes with this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Gumine tú soltas. Ola MacAdume is an Irish journalist, broadcaster, Gaeilgeoir and poet. She has presented radio shows at Radio na Liffey and currently presents the show Unheard on RTE2XM. She directed a short film, What Does Irishness Look Like? And is co-founder of Beyond Representation, which seeks to bring together and celebrate women of colour in Ireland. Her poem, Gruig na Mann Dubh, was included in the Bone and Marrow Anthology of Irish Poetry from Medieval to Modern. Ola a cara gurmila mahagadas veling erin show augustum harava wake this ever and show a kind of started.
Oh, gurmila mahagadin. Yeah, to my anawire pod, I guess some silgamore lesh and corasha. Gurmila mahagadas and
yeah. August mefin freshen. So, Ola, just to maybe start, would you mind just giving us just a little bit about your background with the language and where you're coming from in relation to it?
Yeah, so I learned the language at school, from primary school to secondary school. And yeah, it was funny because, you know, it was the year 2000. And yeah, I suppose my parents just got a leaflet in the door. And we were on the same road then, living on the same road then as the school, Gaelscoil Sin Óg. And yeah, it just happened from there, really. They just thought, sure, why not? And yeah, it just happened that way. And It's a funny story because now, you know, I'm using the language in my own work, and I suppose maybe it was seen then as a way to get into a world of more opportunities and that sort of thing. Because you have to remember the year 2000 was the beginning of inward migration really into Ireland. We had been here since 1997, and yeah, it was just seen as a way to maybe gain more opportunities and go into a world that I might not be able to otherwise, really. And I'm just so grateful and feel so privileged from, you know, the opportunities I've been able to get through the language and the passion I've been able to receive from it, and the way it makes me think about other things as well, like my own mother tongue, Yoruba, as well. You know, it makes me think really about minority languages in general. I always say the poem Filarish by Sháile Riordan was one that got me thinking about the Irish language. Because you have to understand as well, up until then, in sixth year when I did my Leaving Cert, I just kind of felt like, almost like other people in that sense, the majority maybe in Ireland, that, not that I hated the language or anything, no, but I just felt like, okay, I'm just here. Maybe I shouldn't be here. You know, I always questioned, like, gosh, should someone like me really be here in an all-Irish school doing this? Like, you know, I always felt weird about it. And I won't lie, sometimes I still feel weird about it, like I have Irish. But I suppose reading that poem just opened my mind into a whole new world, really. And I always, you know, mentioned that because it really did. It really opened my mind. And I suddenly started to feel like, you know what, this is great. And it's great that we get this opportunity to speak the language.
That is such an amazing starting point. I'm just blown away by that because you've kind of picked, first of all, a poem that I absolutely adore, but I think is challenging in terms of, because Filarish is for anybody who's not familiar with it, it's Sháile Riordan's a poem Filarish. It's saying to leave the sort of the English world behind and the yoke of English civilization behind you and go back to the real fear Gaelan of Dún Chuainn. And And it's an amazing poem. It's a wonderful sort of image. But in a way, though, it's kind of almost a little exclusive or exclusionary. Or it's the challenge I've always kind of felt with Filarete is how could somebody who isn't, let's say, you know, from the Irish Gaeltacht tradition, you know, how welcoming is that to somebody from outside coming in? And so that's fascinating that you found that poem kind of inspirational for you in terms of your relationship with the language.
Yeah, definitely. And it is maybe a strange one because it's so, like, how O'Riordan talks in the poem might seem primitive to some people, but for me at that point, I just felt like it had really opened me up to decolonization, really, which is what I actually went on to study a bit in my undergraduate later in college. And I just found it so refreshing. It was such a refreshing perspective, especially in the curriculum. And I just think more people need to get this perspective as well. Because, you know, for a lot of people, I understand it's maybe about learning off Irish for the ASHDE and that sort of thing for the essays. But, you know, if we have more material like this in the Irish education system, I honestly think a lot of people's minds might change towards the language. Because I just think using that kind of artistic format in learning the language is really helpful. And, you know, I have a lot of friends, you know, that went to English-speaking schools and stuff. And the main thing they'll say is that they just wanted to learn how to actually speak the language rather than focusing on the grammar and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I just really feel like if more people had the access to that kind of material, it would be a lot better.
Oh, without a doubt, it seems to me, because it's a poem that I only discovered quite late in again, partly, I suppose, because I needed to be able to read the language with some proficiency to be able to appreciate it to start with. But no, I completely agree with you. There is such richness there that it isn't that people don't get exposed to oftentimes when trying to learn it. But would you mind just before, because it's just a wonderful point to kind of jump off on. But before maybe just going forward from there, could I just talk about, okay, I mean, in terms of the choice that you mentioned there that your mum and dad made in 2000 for you to start learning Irish, I mean, I think for a lot of people coming to Ireland, I imagine they may, the attitude may be, well, look, we have enough to do now to, we're coming into a different society, different community, culture. Well, maybe we should just focus on getting, you know, English right or whatever. If you know, what were your views? I mean, that was a very brave decision for your parents to choose, let's say, going into a minority language in a new culture and society and country for them. I mean, how do you look back on that decision?
Yeah, so thank you for asking the question that way, because a lot of people kind of try to get at that, but kind of more in a maybe disrespectful way sometimes. So I really appreciate that you asked that question in that light. But yeah, I suppose, you know, I'm the youngest in my family as well, and I was the only one that came with them at that point as well. And, you know, obviously it was, yeah, obviously, like, yeah, I suppose being in a new country is really scary. And as well, you know, Nigeria is an English-speaking country. English is the official language. And Nigeria and Ireland share a lot of similarities. A couple of things like Guinness, St. Patrick, patron saint. And, you know, a lot of priests would have gone to Nigeria as well as missionaries, especially during the Biafran War. So my parents were, you know, quite familiar with Ireland, maybe not with the Irish language. I'm not sure if they actually really knew about the Irish language, to be honest. But I suppose really it was just, maybe it was a spur of the moment thinking, I think a lot of people think maybe my parents really thought about it or something, but not really. It was just, they got the leaflet. And yeah. I think that school in particular wanted the school to be, you know, diverse as well. So, you know, you kind of got the leaflet, and my dad just kind of thought, sure, why not? You know, this could be your new exciting adventure. And, you know, at that point as well, when you come to a new country, you don't know your fate, really. And they didn't. And they just try things out, you know, just to see. And yeah, I started in school and the secretary said I was really happy and doing well and stuff. And that's how the journey started, really.
Yeah. And but tell me, and of course, I you're coming from the Nigerian, you know, from Nigeria. English is again, because we've got the whole post-colonial kind of question there as well. But English would have been the common language. And I, again, when I was thinking, but as I was thinking more of, let's say, people coming from Eastern Europe who are coming here, and you know, when they take the step then of having their kids educated in Irish, there's another question of another language being learned as well, in terms of the English of the bigger language that we're exposed to, let's say, day to day. But but tell me then about what about Yoruba? Is that a language that you would speak at home? Or how does that work?
Yeah, and I just forgot to come to that even. Yeah, so I would have learned Yoruba at home just from hearing my parents speak, to be honest. I never actually got the opportunity to learn it, you know, in the education system or anything like that. But I would have learned it from my parents and just picked it up that way from a young age. And I think my mum was saying a few weeks ago actually to me that she would have spoken Yoruba to me as a child and English as well. So I think English came first and maybe then Yoruba, but those are the two languages that we'd speak at home, yeah.
Yeah. And what also, about...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, go ahead. So my apologies.
Yeah, and also... I suppose in Nigeria as well, there are three indigenous languages, Yoruba, Hausa, and Igbo. And, you know, people don't actually have to study those languages in the education system. Like my brother, Bode, who's the next to me, would be the only one in the family that actually learned Yoruba in the education system in Nigeria. So it's kind of similar to Ireland in the sense that, you know, I think people still have that colonial mindset there that, oh, English is better. And in fact, in Nigeria, English is seen as more middle class to speak. You know, it's seen as a local thing if you speak to indigenous languages. So, yeah, it's a real colonial mentality that's just swept across the world in former colonies. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the classic thing of the kind of the prestige language was English was perceived. I mean, here is the prestige language. Irish was the language of poverty, and English was the language of opportunity. And I think that is still a huge obstacle that we face psychologically to get over in terms of language. But Ola, what about? I mean, cause, so that was it. You went to Guelph. And as we were having the conversation before we started here, I'm extremely envious of you having had that proficiency from such a young age. It's a phenomenal. I think that's winning a linguistic lottery ticket right there. But how did that look then for you in terms of, you know, your day to day life? I mean, was it just that was something you did at school? Did you use it outside of school, or how did that look like as you grew up?
Yeah. So actually, I forgot to mention as well that after I had attended the school, my parents then would have kind of encouraged other people around us as well from a Nigerian background to do the same thing, to look into putting their children into that school as well. And the school overall did become a little bit more multicultural, actually. And I always think it is quite different from other Gwell school and a Bun school and a that would have been around at the time as well. But yeah, I suppose going back to your question, I would have just... It almost just became second nature, really, just learning language. But it's almost like, I feel like I didn't even learn it. You just did your education through it, and that just became second nature. Like, you didn't really think about it, that, oh, I'm learning my education through Irish. It just became a thing. Because, again, you know, I was 3 years old going on 4, so that's just what I learned. And yeah, I suppose just going through primary school, going through secondary, it was just a norm. You didn't question it really. And yeah, I suppose homework, that would be one that maybe people might ask about sometimes. So the subjects I would have had like trouble with in school would be like maths. So I'd just get the English version of that book and then I'd be able to discuss that with my parents at home on, like, you know, discussing the sums and all that kind of stuff. But we also had a family friend as well who's an Irish speaker that would help sometimes with homework or that kind of thing. But I don't want to make it seem like it was difficult or it was too easy, because it was neither, really. It was just a way of life. It was just the norm. Mm-hmm. I just got used to it. It just, yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but...
I know.
Yeah, it was just that.
But what about in terms of just... that's fascinating in terms of the, let's say, how you work, or let's say, dealt with education, let's say, in the household. But what about, I'm just curious in a way, how about what it looked like in your social life as a kid growing up? Was Irish something you used with friends, or did that, was that a thing?
Yeah, so it was friends I would have had from school. Yeah, definitely. We would have spoke Irish, you know, within the school system, definitely. Like, you'd be in trouble otherwise if you spoke English.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously I had, you know, friends outside of school as well. And that would be more so like, you know, during like primary school and stuff. So, yeah, you would have spoke English with them. And, yeah, I suppose as well, even for the your fellow kind of schoolmates, sometimes outside of the school, you'd speak English, to be honest. You know, even throughout secondary school as well, we would speak English. And sometimes with the friends I still have from secondary school, sometimes we would, yeah, to be honest, speak in English. I think it's sometimes hard if you're not in like Sail na Gaeilge to kind of keep up the Irish. So for a lot of my friends I would have from school, I think not all are really involved in Sail na Gaeilge anymore. So they're kind of used to the English speaking world. So yeah, I think some of it is just a natural process sometimes of what you're used to and that sort of thing. So yeah.
But you mentioned a word, Sail na Gaeilge, there now, and that I think brings us beautifully forward in terms of, because obviously since school you've gone on and studied the third level and have an established career now and very, very well-established journalist and broadcaster, working in radio and various different media. So what does that look like now today for you, that Sail na Gaeilge? To what extent does that form part of your life today?
Yeah, so I suppose it's funny. I actually want to just go into a little bit about how I got into Sail na Gaeilge. It was by accident, really, because I just knew in secondary school that I wanted to work in media. And I never really actually intended to work in True Irish. I didn't even really know much about even working True Irish through the media. But I remember in fourth year, during transition year, doing a Gaeilin course. And that was through Bhean na Gaeilge. It was for Irish language media kind of practice and skills. And that's where I discovered Radio na Laoise. And after knowing about them then, I was then able after school to get some work experience there. And that's how it started. That's how I started working with them. And it opened me up to other kind of media as well, like RTE and BBC, Tidí Chathair. And through that as well, it opened me to Sail na Gaeilge. I just feel like so many people don't even know about Sail na Gaeilge. It's not something you're really taught about in school. And I feel like if a lot more people did, they'd know about all the kinds of different ways you can get to work with Irish and the opportunities that are there. And it's just, it is a beautiful world, Sail na Gaeilge. So many amazing individuals, so many talented individuals as well. And it's just like one big family as well. And yeah, I suppose I think I live my life through Sail na Gaeilge and outside of it, because for me, I always want to carry, you know, my two cultures with me. You know, I want to still obviously carry my Nigerian culture, which is my heritage, but also, you know, the culture I grew up with here, the Irish culture as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I think for a lot of people like myself, with that duality, you know, having a different home to the country you're growing up in, it can be kind of a clash, but it can also be a beautiful thing as well.
Yeah. Mm. But would you mind just, I think for perhaps people listening who maybe not be familiar with it, Sail na Gaeilge as a concept or as an actual thing, would you mind just explaining a little bit more about what that actually is and looks like?
Sure. So Sail na Gaeilge is Irish Language Life, and I don't want it to make it sound like it's only media that it's involved in that life. There's so many other things as well. And, you know, different practices as well. You don't even actually have to be working True Irish to be in Sail na Gaeilge. It's just more about being involved, you know, going to different Irish language events like the Pop-up Gaeltacht, like, you know, maybe doing a course at True Gaeilge, you know, in Gael culture or Gaelin, Cullinan Gaeilge or wherever it is. And just being involved online as well, you know, like Twitter, you know, is a big space for Irish language speakers, you know, following different Irish speakers on there as well, and being part of the conversation around the Irish language as well. Being supportive, I think, is the main thing that is Saol na Gaeilge, supporting the language.
Mutual support of the language and of each other through the language. And I think the virtual aspect of it is a wonderful thing as well, that you can connect with people. It's not just, you don't have to be in a particular location to be able to kind of connect and access with people.
It's all over the country. And it's so great as well with the internet to be able to connect with Gaeilgeri all around the country. Like, it's not only Gaeilgeri in Ballyachlia that I'm aware of or friends with. You know, I have people I know are friends with all over the country, and especially the North as well. You know, I think the North is always forgotten about in the conversation of the Irish language. And, you know, people are doing amazing work up there as well, just around the language, where it's a lot more contested as well. So, you know, that's really appreciated.
What about, Ola, you, as obviously, grew up in Dublin, learned the language there. That's where your kind of your community, I guess, started, and that continues. But and Dublin now is probably one of the biggest Gaeltachts, if you like, in terms of between the people who are going through the education system in Irish in Dublin, and then living Saol na Gaeilge in the capital. What's that like in terms of, first of all, your day-to-day life? How much of do you spend using Irish in terms of your interactions? And would you mind just giving us a picture of what that looks like?
Yeah, so it's funny as well, because I feel like people don't respect Dublin and the Irish that is here. So, and that so many Irish speakers live in Dublin, you know. And, you know, we have initiatives now like Ballyachlia le Gaeilge from Conradh na Gaeilge, and just promoting the language here in Dublin, the capital city. And that's really important as well, that, you know, that's shown here. But I feel like it is hard, to be honest, I think personally, to live your life through Irish in Ballyachlia. But, you know, I always beam with joy hearing the language around. So I've heard it here in Dunleary as well. I've heard it in the city centre. And yeah, it's just a beautiful thing. Like when you hear that, like, oh, someone else has it as well. And obviously, you know, there's so many different Irish language institutions all around the city as well. But, you know, it is an English-speaking world, Ballyachlia. Not only Ballyachlia, but, you know, all around, really. And it can be a bit tricky, I think, to use the language. Or I feel like you need to just know that that person has Irish in order to speak Irish with them. So, yeah, for me, with my work, I don't actually work with the Irish language 24/7 as such. It's more because I work in the media. We make Irish language programming, you know, for TV, or I'm doing my radio show bilingually or in Irish on Radio na Laoimhe. So, yeah, it really depends. Like, it's not like, for me anyway, I don't get the opportunity to speak Irish like every single day. It's more like here and there during the week, really. So it's just the reality, really, of where we're living, to be honest, and how things are.
Of course. And again, yeah, it's just to get a snapshot of that, I think, for people, because I think it's phenomenal the fact that you are, the extent to which you are. It's amazing to see. How do you feel then about the Gaeltacht and the traditional, you know, let's say West Kerry Gaeltacht, Connemara, Donegal? What kind of relationship do you have with those areas? And is that something you can make a connection with? You mentioned Fila Rís when we were speaking there at the beginning, which of course is a homage to the West Kerry Gaeltacht. I mean, how do they feature in your experience of the language on a regular basis?
Yeah, so like you said, I grew up in Dublin. So to be honest, I wouldn't have much connection to the Gaeltacht, only having been there for events and maybe work as well. But, you know, the Gaeltacht is somewhere that I really admire. I think it's just really amazing that there are different places around the country that are sustaining the language and the culture as well. And it's always an eye-opening experience when I go to the Gaeltacht, especially in Spidale. just to see, you know, how people are living their lives through Irish. And it's always very beautiful as well, the scenery and everything. And maybe sometimes as someone from the city, you kind of feel self-conscious about your Irish sometimes when you go to the Belt and you think like, oh gosh, is it good enough? And yeah, I suppose really for me, like I said, I didn't get the opportunity to go during school or anything like that. I think it was kind of thought about like, oh, you're in an all-Irish school, so why would you need to go to Gaeltacht to get your Irish to be a bit better or anything like that? But yeah, it's, like I said, it's a beautiful part of the country, beautiful different parts of the country. And, you know, in my work with Forest na Gaeilge Board an Irish, you know, obviously we would work towards helping the Gaeltachtaí around the country and that they receive the right funding and as well. And we work with Údarás na Gaeltachta as well. We just had a Chulcrinu with them recently at the Rochtas as well. So, you know, it's obviously a very central part of the conversation when speaking on Irish language life. But me personally, yeah, I suppose my own story isn't really connected to the Gaeltacht, but it's somewhere that I've always really admired. And I feel like it is, they are forgotten about the Gaeltachtaí around the country. And I think a lot more people need to experience it and to just see, like, this is a different part of Ireland. Whenever I actually go to the Gaeltacht, I always really think, wow, this is the real Ireland, really, in a way. Like, this is how it used to be. It's a historical thing as well. And yeah, I believe that they should be preserved like that forever, you know. And I know there are dangers, you know, to the Gaeltachtaí and everything. And for me, I suppose it's important that we're having these conversations. And I wish that the English media was having more conversations around this as well, because it is a danger. And sometimes because you're in the city, you don't really think about it and you think, oh, it'd be fine. But we as Irish speakers all around the country need to, you know, just remember them in the conversation.
Well, of course. And how do you feel then because you mentioned feeling maybe going to Unspadale and not wondering, is your Irish good enough? And I'm telling you, if you're wondering that, I'm coming from a whole different league in terms of feelings of inadequacy around Irish. But seriously, though, I mean, is there this kind of thing that, I mean, on the one hand, we need to preserve the Gaeltacht and protect the Gaeltacht and they face huge challenges. But on the other hand, is there a kind of that's the real true Irish, and those who are speaking outside of the Gaeltacht are outside of the traditional Gaeltacht areas are kind of, that Irish isn't kind of proper Irish or whatever the case may be. Is there a kind of any disconnect between different Irish language communities?
Yeah, to be honest, I would have personally felt a bit disconnected from the Gaeltacht growing up. As I said, I didn't have a personal collection there. And but I feel like once you get into Saol na Gaeilge, you think a lot more about it, so you get more opportunities to go there. But I actually realise as well, maybe the danger in what I said earlier, that when I go to the Gaeltacht, I think that's the real Ireland, because of course we need to adapt to Ireland being a changing country. And with change, that doesn't mean that, you know, a language is going to go away or anything like that. In fact, it's going to enhance the language even more. And it just shows again and again that it's a living language. So change is something that people should not be afraid of. And with that change, we need to, you know, bring the Gaeltacht along with us as well in the conversation, and maybe even show the Gaeltacht as well, just the different kind of Irish speakers around the country as well. Because just like you were saying, there is kind of this notion maybe all around that, oh, if you're in the city, you don't have the real Irish. It's only in the Gaeltacht. But, you know, again, yes, the richness of the language is in the Gaeltacht. And I think every country has that as well, like where the language is most prominent or most rich. and that is the Gaeltacht in Ireland. And, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, Gael Gabaliá Clia isn't good enough. It's just, you know, maybe the history of the language doesn't really start here as such, you know, and just to be mindful of that, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, but it's ever thus. I mean, because one of the things I've just discovered recently in coming back to Seán Reardon was, I mean, when he started writing, because he was from Ballyvourne, which is was a Brach Gaeltacht, and so that, you know, at that stage, even, you know, English had come in quite extensively there, and his father was a native speaker, but his mother didn't have Irish, and you know, so he was, and then they moved to near Cork City, so he would have been, you know, in English language community from his early teens. But when he went to publish his first book of poetry, he was criticized very, very severely for the quality of his Irish, that he didn't have mastery of Irish was the criticism, and that he wasn't respecting the kind of traditions of Irish language poetry and so on. And so, I mean, and you're thinking, here's somebody who we're looking back on as a master, if you like, who when he first kind of came on the scene was criticized as he wasn't good enough because he wasn't from, you know, a real true Gaeltacht and didn't have mastery of the language from that. So, I mean, when we see that, I think at times we almost face an impossible task if that's what we're up against. But could I maybe just, because I want to pick up on something that you mentioned there about if you like, the wider kind of aspects of community now that we have in Ireland, let's say outside of language, but in parallel with language, which, I mean, and it's something I know that I think that you've been very active in terms of inclusivity and raising awareness around those questions, because, of course, I mean, the language is wonderful and it's a great thing, and it's something that we really have to work to preserve and enhance, but we live in a society of which the language is only part of what's going on here, and we face challenges in terms of, you know, questions around inclusivity as a society generally. But how do those issues relate? And I suppose one of the things that I'm curious about in terms of language in particular is, I mean, a lot of the language can be quite patriarchal in terms of how it's structured. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of the kind of conventions and so on come from a very traditional background. I mean, even our greetings are based in the religious greetings, but also then, so we have issues around how the language comes to gender, I think, because it seems to be quite patriarchal in how it's structured, and then also then how the language treats race. How do you see those issues evolving, or what are the challenges we face there?
I think the language really is evolving, to be honest, when it comes to minorities in general. You know, we saw the Fuclór Áitiúil come about as well, and, you know, with recent changes to person of colour as well in the lexicon. So, you know, change is coming. You know, obviously there are going to be maybe a small minority that don't want that change, but I think, if anything, it's just a positive because, you know, showing that the language is alive, showing that people care. And of course, it should include minorities as well. We're speaking the language too. So I suppose there, I do feel like, even forgetting about like minority issues within the language, I just think in general, a lot of people struggle, like you said, with the patriarchal aspects to the language, the religious aspect to the language. And I think that's why a lot of people just think the Irish language is conservative. And it's only when I got to Seán na Gaeilge that I realised, no, the language doesn't have to be like that at all. Like, you can say hi, H-A-I-G-H, instead of D-U-H. You can use the language in all sorts of liberal ways. And it just, yeah, it doesn't have to be this kind of precious thing that we grew up with. You know, I think it's not that the language isn't precious, but being so precious about it that you're just so worried about it to the point of you don't want anything to change, that's not helpful to the language at all. It's not helpful to any language. So it's about using the language in any way possible. So yeah, I suppose, you know, in that Dawn and Gurgnamon Dove in that poem, yeah, I'm using it to talk about race, which maybe is something that hasn't been seen before then. But if it's a, if you say it's a living, breathing language, then there should be no issue with me using it in that way. So it's really about just, it's about education within the language, just showing different kinds of people that you can use it in any kinds of way, and the speakers of the language too, that they can be from any kind of background. Because we need to remember as well that I feel like Irish started with being the language of the poor, but in some way it's become, or it's been at least seen as elitist. And I don't know why. I think that's something to do with the Gaelscoileanna and like maybe more people from middle class backgrounds being interested in it. But yeah, it's just like, it feels like all kinds of things are thrown at the language. It's just, it's so chaotic. And it's so, it can be seen as so political as well. And I just don't know why people just can't look at it as just simply as a language and just use it for whatever you want. Until we get to that, it's just going to be a bit of issues, I think, really. But, you know, with change comes issues like that anyway. And I think it's only a positive, to be honest. Yeah.
And tell me then, Ola, what about your, I mean, you're active in many different roles and organizations, but I know you're a board member of Fórais na Gaeilge. And could you tell us about that and your role there and what that looks like?
Yeah, I suppose my role there as board member on Fórais na Gaeilge, and one that I'm really honored to have as well, you know, especially as someone of African descent, is just really supporting the language. And, you know, it's a language body for the north and south of the island, and in promoting the language, in funding the language as well. And our role as board members is to make sure that UNIRS is, you know, putting funding in the right places and enhancing the language in places that maybe it hadn't been enhanced as much, or, you know, given the right organizations the right amount of money and that so forth. And, you know, this is my second year on the board. I joined in 2020 and I was age 23, you know, so I was really young joining the board. I think I'm the youngest member on the board, I'm pretty sure, at this point still. So, you know, it was really scary, you know, joining a state board, to be honest. And, you know, I suppose now that I'm feeling more comfortable in my role, you know, I'm really keen to promote the language within groups that it's not, you know, maybe encouraged as much. And just, again, you know, showing that anyone can speak Irish, that, you know, maybe people that didn't like the language in school, that they can have opportunities now to enjoy the language. Like my own partner, even, he was someone that never thought that he could speak Irish. And lately he's been learning it on Duolingo and he can form, you know, full sentences as Gaeilge now. So anyone can do it. And yeah, it's lots of E, like they say.
And what then, so what would your vision for the, what is your vision for the future of the language? How do you see it develop? And what would you see as the priorities that we should be focusing on with a view to that?
I think the priorities should be sustaining the language in places that are at danger, so like the Gaeltacht, but also like people in schools and in English speaking schools that are just not enjoying the language and maybe not getting the best out of the language as they could. And, you know, enhancing the language in general, really, you know, promoting it, and promoting it in all ways, not just, you know, maybe the regular ways we've been promoting it, but in a fun, maybe more kind of young, liberal way as well. Just showing that you can use the language in any sort of subject matter at all. You know, I think the Mother Folklore podcast really proves that as well, because you know, on that podcast, myself and others really spoke about the language just in all kinds of different ways. And yeah, just giving people the opportunities, building more Gaelscoileanna as well. That is so needed, so much demand for Gaelscoileanna. And now I'm seeing the Guelph Scullana that are multi-dominational as well, like Gloucester and Fiersig, for example, that's opening in, I think it's already open, sorry, in Rathfarnham. So, you know, seeing more things like that, you know, that's the future, just openness really within the language.
What do you see then about on that, just in terms of the education system? You mentioned that specifically, and I mean, what about, you know, people who, you know, say, oh well, look, I went through 14 years of education, I came out of it, and, you know, can't string a sentence together, I just learned off the essays or whatever it is. What do you say to, I mean, are we serving people in terms of the way it's being taught, do you think, now in the secondary system? I mean, I know for people who are in the Gaelcolosh and the Gaelscolna, that's, you know, that's a different kind of, but what are people who are in the non-Gaelcolosh who are still getting that kind of, you know, that who say, saying they're not being served by the language? Are we approaching it the right way, do you think?
No, we're not at all. And they're not being served at all, to be honest. And, you know, that's really sad. And I think for a lot of people, it's about giving up as well. Like, you're just, Maybe for some, it's just about, oh, I just have to do this because I have to do this. And, you know, I hate that that's the mindset that people have, unfortunately. But at the same time, you can't really blame them because they're not getting the best out of it as they could. So I think it's really up to the government as well, changing the curriculum. It's in how it's taught. I know so many people have said this as well. But it really is about just getting enthusiastic about teaching the language and, you know, having material there that people can experience the language in a new way, not just about getting the grammar right all the time. Sure, we don't get the grammar right all the time in English, so it shouldn't matter that much. You know, that can come later. It's just about conversing Oswelga and learning different things Oswelga as well. And, you know, AFRIC, that program that used to be on Teaching Carers, so many people love that. So, you know, getting the funding to make programs like that again for young people on Teaching Carers or even RTE as well.
And what about your own work, Olena? What's going on in your life right now? What are your priorities in terms of the work that you're involved in? Would you mind kind of sharing a snapshot of that with us?
Yeah, so I work with a TV company called Big Mountain Productions up in the north, and we make programmes, factual entertainment mostly, and in English and Irish. We have a lot of Irish language programme. We're currently working on one for RTE called Madri, so I'm excited about that one. We've been working on that through the summer, and we're about to finish it up now, and it'll be on in the springtime 2023 on RTE. So that's about, like, bad behavior of dogs from the lockdown. So again, you know, showing that the language can be used in different ways. But aside of that as well, you know, I have my own personal projects. I'm going to be releasing a short kind of video doc about accents, and it's a bilingual doc, and you're just going to see really different sort of people from different backgrounds talking in English and Irish about their accent and maybe the stereotypes and the adversity they've faced because of their accent as well. So, yeah, I still have my show on RT2XM Unheard, playing different music from Gaelic and Black artists as well. Afra Era is still on Radio na Lifa, promoting African-Irish music, Oswelga Cumá. And, yeah, I'm just excited, you know, for the year ahead as well to maybe do more work around the Irish language and also, you know, promoting diversity as well. I did a recent talk actually for the Education and Training Boards in Carlow. They had their annual conference, and I was chairing a panel talk there about increasing diversity and inclusion within the education system as well. So I think all of these kind of different subject matters that we've been talking about for the last few years, it's really going to enhance our society, I think. And yeah, I can only be excited for the future. I know there's a lot of things to worry about, but, you know, I'd like to be hopeful at the same time in some ways, because it keeps us going at least.
for sure. And there's that we can only really focus on the things that we can control and do something about, which you're very, very, very actively involved in so many of those. Just, but would you mind sharing with us, Ola, just one of the questions I like to ask is just what your Irish language, why? And what is the why for you around the language? Why do you do what you do in relation to the language, and what motivates you to you on it?
Because I just love it, to be honest. I just enjoy it. You know, I enjoy particularly making bilingual content, because with my work, I want to reach out to people that actually don't care about Irish and get them to care, in a sense. So, you know, I just feel passionate about using language in different ways and, you know, promoting diversity within it as well. And also just getting different kinds of people that wouldn't be in the same room together. So even in that video that I mentioned, the one about accents, you know, you'll see all kinds of people there that you wouldn't necessarily group together, but just showing that, yeah, like we could all just be talking about similar issues. We're all connected in all kinds of ways, and we're all similar really in different ways. And yeah, just aiming, I suppose, for a better future for everyone, really. Yeah, an open one. Mm. Because, you know, when I think back about how when I grew up, to be honest, it was still, there's a lot of still closed-mindedness, you know, like, obviously, you know, maybe people were a little bit weird about, like, you know, someone from an immigrant background being in the Glasgow school or whatever, but just even in our society, like, in general, you know, there wasn't a lot of talk about diversity, inclusion at all. So I'm very happy in recent years we've been talking about that, and we've been making people feel more comfortable to have their space. And, you know, that makes me very hopeful for the future, because when I think back for my parents, like, they didn't have a great time, you know, in Ireland as such, you know, in their beginnings. So for the next generation, I'm feeling a bit better for them. Yeah.
Well, for sure. I can only imagine, but I mean, that would strike me as has to be the case, and or certainly was the case. But can we maybe just for a second just focus on that, because I think it's like, how important is the language, do you think, in terms of, you know, when you look at the kind of challenges that you face, or that, you know, we face as a community in terms of inclusion and diversity and things like that, how, where does the language fit in relation to all of that? I mean, we have so many challenges and issues, I think, here as a society now. How do you see the language fitting into to all of those other challenges that we face, and what are you thinking around that?
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of people, first of all, I suppose, don't want to acknowledge that, you know, not everyone would be happy with people from immigrant backgrounds speaking the language. Like, we're all just people at the end of the day, and there's going to be people that don't like that as well. And it's about just realizing that, you know. I have had, you know, all kinds of people speak down about, like, me having Irish and not being happy with it, you know, and making all kinds of comments. Like, I remember one comment on the Colour na Gaeilge page where they were promoting my work one time ahead of Lawnmower na Gaeilge. There was a comment from someone from Australia even saying, oh, that refugee is saving our language. So, you know, there's always going to be stuff like this anyway, but it's just about, again, as I said, you know, realizing it and, you know, making the language more and more inclusive. You know, that's happening. Conor na Gaeilge are doing a lot with that, especially. And yeah, just more of that and more conversations like this. And I guess we can be real about it, because I know sometimes, you know, throughout Irish history, there's been an issue of kind of sweeping stuff under the rug and we don't want to talk about things. So, you know, the more we talk about things, the better, I think it might be, at least. Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you mentioned something there, and I would love to just ask you, and I'm not sure if what your thoughts are on this, but what are the questions that we should be asking in relation to the language, and what are the conversations that we should be having? I mean, what are the things that you see that are there that maybe aren't being spoken about as much as they should be?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, but a difficult one to answer. I suppose the conservatism, like I'm mentioned around the language, you know, I think sometimes the conversations around language can be quite stuffy, can be very male-centered, obviously, I guess, white-centered as well. And yeah, it makes maybe someone that's outside of that feel very kind of stuck, or feel like they can't be a part of it, but of course you can be a part of it. Just making a space for yourself and making a way through. So I think really it is about making the language seem a lot more open and involving different kinds of people in it. Like I just did a video there with Gurra Media, and they're all about kind of centering minorities, or I suppose different kinds of people really around different societal issues. So I was there with a few other young people like myself talking about the Irish language, and I just thought, wow, if there was more of this, like so many people in schools would realize just how vibrant the language is. And I just hope in schools now, in classrooms where Irish is being taught, that they're showing this kind of content as well, not just the books, not just reading the books, but also showing different kinds of content for them on screen, because it's important to just see that representation and to see that discussion, you know, around the language in all kinds of ways, really. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. If we can't see it, how can we be it, as they say? But I think, Ola, just in terms of your work, and I just want to congratulate you on it, and it's phenomenal. I have to say, I mean, you're here in the same anthology as that great poem, Fila Rish. I think it's about time, and here's the first of much more. Are you working on poetry on an ongoing basis?
I'm not at the moment. I want to get more creative in my writing, to be honest. But I am very excited about an event that's coming up next year that will involve poetry and writing in general. And it's going to be in another country, in another continent. I don't want to reveal too much, but I'm very excited. So it's going to revolve around Irish language, yeah.
Wonderful. That's a project coming up for 2023. Well, we're going to look forward with excitement. And you're after you've set up a wonderful teaser in relation to that. I can't wait to hear that being unveiled in due course. So thank you so much, Ola, for sharing that with us here. Ola Akara Gorov Mila Mahagut Vin me Anasolt Asan Shkale Arain Tulin Agus Berbua Agus Banak Dakara.
Gorov Mila Mahagut in.
Thanks for listening. Gurv Mila Mahagut Asave Eishtukt. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would really appreciate your feedback and would be eternally grateful if you would follow, rate and review the show. Please also be sure to sign up at thelanguagequestion.com/resources to get your free valuable learning resources and to stay up to date with upcoming episodes, guests and to receive exclusive content. Slán tamil.